It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Happy Tuesday. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 4 hours. This is when the show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, he's in New York City. And we got a lot to get into. The New York Jets providing plenty of fodder as they fire their head coach, Rob Saleh, 6 weeks ago. And today, they fire the general manager, Joe Douglas. You want to take a guess who gets the boot next? We'll talk about it in a minute. In an hour from now, we're going to find out the latest rankings in the college football playoff. Georgia's going to rise, but how much? Trey Wallace is going to join us. Outkick college football writer. He'll be here, in a matter of fact, in 20 minutes to give us a preview as to what we can expect with the latest college football playoff rankings. Dallas Cowboys get blasted at home yesterday, last night, by the Houston Texans. Houston Texans make fun of the metal piece that falls out of the sky at Cowboys Stadium. We found out that Tyrese Maxey thinks Joel Embiid needs to get it together. Can't even show up to work on time, let alone play. I guess maybe that's why he doesn't show up. I told you last night, Bo Nix continues to impress. The rest of this NFL season is shaping up. Well, for the bad teams, we know what teams are going to be aiming for the number one pick. Cavs are going to take on the Celtics tonight. We got the defending champs versus an undefeated squad. And then, of course, at the end of the show, I'm going to share with you a few things that took place this day in sports history. Today is November 19th. It's been that way all day long. If you want to be a part of the show, it's real simple. The phone number here is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can find me online. I am everywhere at JR Sport Brief. Before we get into these New York Jets dismissing general manager Joe Douglas, Hickey, how are you?
Doing well, JR. People are wondering here on the streets. They're asking, did Anthony Richardson break the Jets?
Oh, my goodness. The answer is no.
Out there.
No, the answer is no. I think one of the final things that broke the Jets was another quarterback, their own quarterback. His name is Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah, we'll see what the Colts do the rest of the season. But when it comes to the Jets, we briefly touched on this yesterday, Hickey. As I just said, you know what, and I've been saying this for weeks, I've been saying this for months, if the New York Jets, who now have a record of 3-8 after the Indianapolis Colts just beat them 28-27, if you're the New York Jets and you're going to crash and burn, then just get it over with. Crash and burn in spectacular fashion. Because everybody loves a good car wreck, right? And no, I know we got plenty of people on the road. We don't want you in a car wreck. But it's human nature to look at an accident, you know, if you're on the road and rubberneck. You want to see what the damage is. You want to see what's gone wrong. I mean, we have companies that sell stuff that market entertainment all about car crashes and monster truck destruction. We got plenty of these things. I pop up to an arena near you, pop up in a stadium near you. You can watch Gravedigger just destroy cars. People are paying money to sit in a stadium to watch one car wreck another. People love destruction. People love a good car crash. And the New York Jets have been a car crash for so damn long. They have the longest streak of not appearing in the postseason of any team in North American sports right now. The Jets have not been to the postseason since their AFC Championship game appearance against the Steelers in 2011. We are moving to 2025. Joe Douglas has been the GM of the New York Jets since 2019. He took over a disaster. Adam Gase and Mike Maccagnan. Joe Douglas comes in, supposed to be an astute talent evaluator. And there's people, and this is a dumb conversation. I'm not going to have it. There are people going, well, he should have kept his job. Well, it's not his fault. And then there are people going, well, look at his track record. He shouldn't have kept his job. Look, the man was at the end of his tenure forced to turn things around. His biggest mistake was Zach Wilson. And you can run down the list and a line of his hits and his misses. I know people aren't a fan of Sauce Gardner right now and his non-tackling ass, but the guy has been a pro bowler, an all-pro the first 2 years of his career. Garrett Wilson is an absolute game changer. We can go down to Mekhi Becton's to the Zach Wilson's. He's been an okay GM, and I know his record has been 30-64, but this has been an unusual tenure by a general manager. This guy has been pushed not to just GM and be the team, you know, spokesperson. The owner has pushed him. He was pushed into a hole to say, hey, go get Aaron Rodgers because your guy Zach Wilson didn't work. And only a New York team could do this. Only a team with a multi-billionaire guy who doesn't have to work, a Band-Aid company, Johnson & Johnson, you know, fellow, and Woody Johnson could only do something like this. Woody Johnson is the reason why the Jets stink. You could put in any general manager that you want. It could be Mike Tannenbaum. He was in charge the last time the Jets were worth a damn in the postseason, and now he's on TV. I don't know where Idzik is. I don't know where this guy is. Probably in witness protection. I have no idea. Where's Mike Maccagnan? I don't know. Joe Douglas missed on a quarterback. That was his fault. And he was screwed. And by the way, there were 10 quarterbacks selected in that draft. The New York Jets could have sunk with any of them. Trevor Lawrence taken before Zach Wilson. You could think about Justin Fields, Trey Lance selected right after this man. Where's Trey Lance now? Backing up on a damn Dallas Cowboys. Can't even see the field. Mac Jones getting eviscerated in Detroit. Kyle Trask. He was selected to sit behind, way, way behind Tom Brady. And so don't get on me or tell me about drafting status. The Jets stink because of their owner, all right? This man, Joe Douglas, had his hits. He had his misses. He's not the reason why the Jets have been ass for the past 15 years, okay? And everybody knows they stink. This is not no foreign concept. His record was 30-64. Last year, this year, a waste. We know when you start off and you begin your tenure as a coach and a GM, the first 2 years are typically a waste. The New York Jets have been sandwiched with crap, and Joe Douglas had to pay the price for a decision that they all figured that they had to make, and that's getting Aaron Rodgers. And the minute that Aaron Rodgers, you brought him in, it was swinging for a grand slam. And knowing that if you miss, you're screwed. Well, the Jets missed and is screwed. Aaron Rodgers said it before this season. Man, if we don't have a good season, we'll all get the boot. Rob Saleh got the boot. Joe Douglas got the boot. You want to know who's getting a boot next? Yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers. I'll talk to you more about that in a second. Listen to his star wide receiver. No, not the one that he wanted to bring in Davante Adams, but the one that they drafted, Garrett Wilson, this past Sunday after losing to the Colts. He told everybody, yeah, this losing stuff, it ain't for me.
It's been tough, man. I ain't going to fake it. It's been tough. And at the end of the day, man, I just got to keep going out there and make sure I'm winning my rep, you know, at the end of the day. So I got to do a better job of that and you know, see where that puts us.
Yeah, you can only do so much. You can't coach the team. God only knows who's going to throw you the football next year. And we don't know. And the New York Jets, good for them. They got a bye this week. They take on Seattle December 1st. And Seattle will probably beat that ass. I don't know. What do I know? They changed the head coach. That'd make a difference. The New York Jets are 1-6 since firing Rob Saleh. I wonder if Rob Saleh and Joe Douglas have had that conversation on the phone already, that two-hour conversation about, man, can you believe that disaster that we were a part of? Yeah, we had something to do with it, but can you believe how Woody Johnson is running that building? It's just awful. It's terrible. Their interim head coach, Jeff Ulbrich, who was helping out with the defense, and now he's the head coach, and now the defense has suffered, the whole team is garbage, just yesterday. He said we all have to look deep inside during our bye week to try to turn things around. Good luck.
The time for taking a deep breath is not yet. Like, we got to take a deep dive into who we are and just be completely honest and hear the criticisms and grow from the criticisms. And that's not just players, that's coaches as well. You know, not being stubborn to the point where anybody's pointing the finger at anybody else other than themselves.
Yeah, well, Charlie Brown. Cue up the Charlie Brown teacher. Wah, 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 wah. Nothing. Nothing that comes out of the New York Jets. Out of the organization, from Ulbricht's mouth, from Aaron Rodgers. None of it matters unless Aaron Rodgers says, I'm done. I'm just going to quit now. And that's the only thing that could be even more hilarious. Aaron Rodgers waking up one day over the next several weeks, maybe over the next week, and announcing his retirement. I would not put it past the man to say, you know what? It's time for me to go. Because the writing is on the wall. And I told you what Aaron Rodgers said before the season. If we don't get this right, then we're all gone. Masala's gone. Douglas is gone. Aaron Rodgers is going to be gone next. There is absolutely no reason for the New York Jets to bring in a new general manager who will then hire a new head coach and say, we want to keep the 41-year-old quarterback who's lost a step. I think in the right circumstances, and you know what, not because of his talent. I take that back. With whatever is left of his talent, I think Aaron Rodgers could still play quarterback in the NFL as a starter. He's not a bum. He's not a bust. He's okay. He's not what he used to be. He can still start. He's better than some of this crap that some other teams put out there. But I'll tell you this. Everybody wants a fresh start. And Aaron Rodgers going on another team? Why does anybody want him or his attitude or what he's going to bring? You shot a bunch of bullets here with the New York Jets. You got the offensive coordinator that you wanted and Nathaniel Hackett. Oh, let's not forget, he got the boot. They won and dined him. The New York Jets did, going out to his house. The coach is gone. The GM is gone. You bring in players. Last year was Randall Cobb. This year, Devontae Adams. Why the hell would Aaron Rodgers even want to return? Why would the New York Jets want him back? I think it's safe to say that this is over. The New York Jets have crashed. They have burned. And now they need to look to the future. And the Jets could have waited. Who the hell and what GM are you hiring in November? In December, they got Savage, who used to work for the Browns, now is the interim GM. Okay, whoop-de-freaking-do. By the time they actually hire somebody worth a damn, all the good GMs can't talk to anybody. It's in the season right now. All the coaches that anybody gives a crap about, they're coaching right now. You know, except for, I don't know, Mike Vrabel. And why would Mike Vrabel want any piece of this? And then Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick's been telling everybody for the past, I don't know, 25 years that the Jets are garbage. There's a reason why he decided I did not want to work for the Jets. And it seemed to be the greatest and best decision that Bill Belichick ever made in his damn life. That and the fact that he now hangs out with a woman. Hickey, what is she, 23, 4, 5? Young, right?
Much younger than Bill, we'll say, by almost 50 years, somewhere in that range.
Oh, damn. That sounds worse than what I was going to say, half his age, but you accurately described it.
Oof.
Yeah. Damn. Anyway, Bill Belichick making great decisions a couple of years ago and then 25 years ago. Great decision maker that Bill Belichick is. Anyway, the New York Jets suck. They're a joke. Everything that's happening to them, they deserve. And their fans, well, their fans deserve better. Here's to another 3-4 years of rebuilding. Here's to another quarterback who's come into the New York Jets old and decrepit as a savior that fell apart. The New York Jets have one championship trophy in their front room, one Vince Lombardi trophy in that beautiful lobby that they have. But Aaron Rodgers, he now joins the list of Vinny Testaverde. He joins the list of Brett Favre. And now you can throw Aaron Rodgers in that mix. Old ass, broken down, run-of-the-mill old, busted QBs who the Jets thought could save them, and they just fell apart. Welcome to life with the New York Jets. Trash. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We have so much more to get into. Speaking of trash, we're going to get into the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones has an explanation for why his building is falling apart. The Houston Texans are showing a little bit of life. I told you in about an hour's time, we're going to find out the latest college football playoff rankings. We're going to get into the Philadelphia 76ers and the fact that one superstar on the team is calling out another one. The fat, lazy one who's always hurt, and Joel Embiid. We have so much to get into. A matter of fact, on the other side of the break, to give us a preview of the college football playoff rankings, we're going to be joined by Trey Wallace from OutKick. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We are just getting started.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we talked about those New York Jets. We'll get back into that later on in the show. Right now, it's time to talk about something that will take place in about 40 minutes from now. We're going to get the latest edition of the college football playoff rankings. Got a bunch of SEC teams that are trying to figure out where they fit in and how they don't fit in. What happens with a school like BYU after their loss? To talk about it all as someone who writes and covers all things college football for OutKick, it's Trey Wallace. Trey, thank you for taking the time. Appreciate it.
JR, man, it's good to be on with you, buddy, as we're about 40 minutes away from a bunch of people around the country being agitated with the College Football Playoff Committee. So I'm all here for it.
Yeah, just 13 people sitting in a room pissing America off. What else is new, right? It's how things work.
Man, I wouldn't expect anything different, buddy. So I also would expect Michigan's AD Ward Manuel to get a little backlash tonight from a couple of teams out there. So it should be interesting.
Well, sounds normal. Well, let me ask you about this. After what we saw over the weekend with Georgia and Tennessee and a couple of weeks ago, Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, Bama, Ole Miss, they're all in the mix. They all have two losses. How does this past weekend affect what we're likely to see in 40 minutes?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway from the SEC standpoint, if we're looking at that part, is going to be, you know, Georgia and where they were last week compared to where now. I've been projected to be probably number six in the country in the rankings tonight. The biggest thing to remember is, you know, the automatic qualifiers and what that's going to look like for 1 through 4. But you know, you look at where we're at in the SEC, and you look at the rest of the country, and a lot of discussion has already been taking place about strength of schedule. And I think that's only going to ramp up over the next 3 weeks, even through Championship Saturday and through that weekend. And, you know, as we sit here right now, you know, my question is who are going to be the teams that get bumped down? You know, what are we going to get from 13 to 15, you know, even 12 to 15? Which teams are going to be on the outside looking in? And, you know, and it's going to come back to, okay, what kind of chaos can we see over the next 2 to 3 weeks? And look, Jared, you know, the crazy part about it is, you know, there could be a situation here where, you know, I've got Colorado winning the Big 12 right now, just because I don't like the way BYU is playing football. And so, you know, does that mean BYU is going to be on the outside looking in, you know, with an opportunity for Boise State to take that 12 spot? So there's a lot of things happening right now. And I think in the SEC in particular, you know, there's a race, you know, it is okay. What is this going to look like? Is it going to be four teams? Is it going to be five teams? And, you know, I think, JR, one of the biggest things, the arguments right now across the country is, how does playing in a conference championship affect your standing when it comes to those final rankings? So from an SEC part, JR, I think there's, you know, I think we're still in for a little bit of madness over the next 3 weeks. And, you know, maybe something happens in Gainesville on Saturday with Ole Miss that could really ruffle some feathers.
And Trey Wallace is joining us from OutKick. That was going to be my next question to you. What should we expect for Ole Miss before we even get to this upcoming Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the kicker out of all of this, right? I mean, we all saw what Ole Miss did to Georgia. We all saw that defensive line put so much pressure on Georgia and forced Carson Beck into you know, a number of different mistakes, which we have seen from Carson Beck a lot this season. I know we didn't get it, you know, like during the Tennessee game. I think in that second half is where you really saw him start to settle down. And look, yeah, he had two nice touchdown passes, but you know, the Tennessee secondary, you know, they pretty much just parted the seas for Georgia across the middle. So I look at Ole Miss, and you know, this is a team that can score a lot of points, man. And I think at the same time, JR, you've got a defensive line that's causing pressure. You saw what they did against Georgia. The opportunity this weekend is very interesting to me because of, you know, I think Florida's playing a little bit better. I think obviously what we've seen over the last 4 weeks from the Gators is a team that, you know, can cause a little bit of chaos. And LSU, like LSU is not, you know, they're not world beaters, but the fact that LSU got curb stomped by Alabama, they needed to go to Gainesville and make a statement. And what happened? Man, the Gators just come out and just beat them up. So I look at this, and I know there's another big game going on Saturday at 12 o'clock Eastern. I get it. Ohio State, Indiana. But I'm just telling you, like, this would be the opportunity for the Gators to have a big signature win this season. Not a shot at LSU, but boy, oh boy, JR, if they can beat Ole Miss, you talk about absolute chaos in the CFP, that's where it comes into play.
Well, I want to go back, Trey, to a comment that you made a few minutes ago about, I don't want to call it chaos in the Big 12. We saw BYU lose on Saturday. Colorado is probably higher than it's ever been in Deion's 2 years there. You got a bunch of other squads who are sitting around at 8-2 in that Big 12. You talk about chaos. You got Colorado ultimately winning the Big 12?
I got Colorado winning the Big 12. Here's the thing about BYU. For 3 weeks in a row, it felt like that team, I don't want to say life support, but what I am saying is you saw the game day to come back and win. I mean, look at the Utah game. You know, you had to drive 98 yards. There was that crazy penalty that everybody got up in arms about. By the way, it was a holding on Utah. And then you look at the situation that you ran into against a Kansas team that, okay, all right, whatever. Jalen Daniels, the quarterback, like you look at the situation and you think, okay, BYU should be able to handle this. And what happens? They come out and lay an egg. And they lay an egg at the worst time that possibly could happen. Also, against the worst team, a team that came in with 3 wins on that season, you know, in Kansas. So right now, you look at Colorado. I was at that Colorado-Nebraska game earlier in the season and towards the end of September. And after Deion and company got beat, and the way that they got beat, I was like, okay, this squad is going to be fighting for bowl eligibility. And I've ate a lot of crow over the last 2 months because now I look at this team, and you look at the way Travis Hunter is playing ball on both sides of the field, and then you look at Shedeur Sanders, and the biggest component to me from Colorado is where they have stood out the most to me is the fact that now they have their two parts. The fact that they got weapons at wide receiver that are really starting to step up. You got Shepard, you got Jimmy Horn. But then you look at that defensive line, JR. Man, the pressure they're getting. So I like Colorado right now. I look at the remaining teams that are on their schedule. I think they should go 2-0. And then I think they should be in Dallas playing for a Big 12 championship. And who would have thought, my man, who would have thought 2 months ago that we'd be talking about a Deion Sanders team playing for an opportunity to go to the college football playoff in just 3 weeks from now. So I think it's going to happen, and as of right now, I've got Colorado winning the Big 12.
Well, speaking of winning, do you think Travis Hunter is going to be in New York walking away with that Heisman?
Well, hopefully, I know this for a fact. Colorado's already got the reservations intact, got the hotel set up for Travis Hunter. You know, he's going to be one of the players that are there, in my opinion. Honestly, he should be. And at the end of the day, I think Travis Hunter should be holding up that trophy. Now, would I say this if Colorado finished the season 6-6, but Travis Hunter was still putting up the same numbers? That would be very difficult for me because we always kind of look at the Heisman Trophy and we kind of, you know, the voters like to give it to a player that has had a substantial impact when it comes to a win-loss record. So guess what? Colorado sitting here right now 8-2. This is it for them. Like, the season could end tomorrow. They could catch an L next week and Travis Hunter would still, in my opinion, be in New York City. And at the end of the day, I know what Ashton Gentry has done. That kid runs the ball. He is ferocious. He is a fantastic player. But you can't tell me that there's another guy out there as dynamic on both sides of the football than Travis Hunter. I mean, 9 touchdown catches. You look at what he's done on defense. He's just an all-around 5-tool player, man. And in my opinion, I know there's 3 weeks left, and we'll see what happens. But as we stand here right now, I think he should be the one holding up that trophy.
Well, Trey, you talk about Ashton Jeanty and Boise State as it relates to them in the playoff. We saw that they were barely there because of Georgia last week and the potential of them to win their conference. Does their schedule hurt them? Will it hurt them in the long run?
I think it, because of the argument about strength of schedule and because of where we are right now when it comes to you're looking at other teams now who would get in. And I think that's one of the biggest things that kind of stands out. The best thing, in my opinion, that could happen to Boise State was BYU losing. Because now you put in that situation where you look at BYU's strength of schedule, okay, all right, not very impressive. And I understand what Boise has left. Look, you got Wyoming, and then you're going to go play a 4-6 Oregon State team at home to wrap up the season. But if they can continue doing what they're doing, go win the Mountain West Conference, they're going to get that, in my opinion, they're going to get that automatic, you know, qualifier per se, that 12th spot for the at-large team. I think Boise State's going to get there. The one team that could throw a wrinkle into all of this, JR, is Army. If Army is to somehow beat Notre Dame, and then Army finishes this bad boy off and wins the AAC championship, you know, beats Navy that next week in the regular season finale, which blows my mind anyways because they're going to play one more game after the conference title game. But if they could do that, I think then the question is, okay, you know, Army's probably got the more impressive win against Notre Dame than Boise State does. So then you would have to put, in my opinion, Army at that 12th spot, and then it's going to be up for discussion, you know, on who rounds out the rest. But if that happens, JR, Army gets in. I don't know if Boise State does, because then you look at it, like you just said, man, strength of schedule. And right now, to me, it's not impressive enough. So Boise State is praying that Notre Dame beats Army this weekend. Boise State handles business the rest of the way, and then we see where Ashton Jeanty can lead this team as we go on.
Well, you talk about confusion and strength of schedule. I got to end this conversation on this note, taking a look at the ACC. You think about Miami going down to Georgia Tech. You think about SMU going on a run. Like who's going to escape out of the ACC?
I that has been the most – look, besides the Big 12, the ACC has been the most confusing conference for me this season because Miami – look, Miami, if we're being honest with each other, Miami was on the brink for a couple weekends in a row. That Virginia Tech game that came down, you know, pretty much to the final play of the game on that pass in the back of the end zone. You know, you go out to Cal, you have to come back in the fourth quarter. Cam Ward, awesome player, great quarterback. But at the end of the day, you know, they got gat by Georgia Tech. And now you're sitting in this situation where, okay, what does the title game look like? Which team could potentially get in? And the way that we look at it right now, I think we're lining up here for, you know, that SMU-Miami ACC championship game. And I just think SMU is playing really good football right now. And I think Miami is really susceptible on defense to get beat. So, you know, I at the end of the day, Cam Ward is my factor, though. I think Miami kind of handles business. They got a game against Wake Forest this weekend. And that's all gravy. You take care of them, you know, and then you're going to finish the regular season with Syracuse, which is a nice win potentially over a 7-3 squad. I got Miami that's going to be representing the ACC, but just don't overlook SMU because the Mustangs have really had it this year under Rhett Lashley.
Yeah, let's see how much further Cam Ward could take him because, as you said, we know that defense ain't going to be helping out too much, if at all.
And we could say the same thing about like Indiana too this weekend. You know what I mean? Like it's a situation. You know, it all goes back to strength of schedule, like in the Big Ten. You know, what if Indiana, you know, gets beat by 2 touchdowns this weekend? You know, they have them so high ranked. You know, it's like how far are you going to drop them? So we've got a lot of madness that's going to be happening, and I'm looking forward to it. And it all starts up again on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, me. I can't wait to see UMass and Georgia. I can't wait for that one, Trey. Of course.
Man. Come on.
I mean, I'm just saying.
UMass decided to fire their coach and send an interim head coach down to Athens, Georgia this weekend. I don't know what kind of punishment they wanted to inflict on that program, but congratulations to them. They did it.
Yeah, I may drive out there for that one. I may fall asleep in the stands, but I'm going to go out there for that one. We'll see, Trey.
at least catch that first half, you know?
Hey, yeah, well, it may be 60-3 by then, but we'll find out. Hey, Trey, where can people follow you and all your work with OutKick?
Absolutely. You can follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you like to call it, at Trey Wallace _. Follow all my work at OutKick.com, man. We're just covering the college football season, man. We still got 2 months left to go, and we'll be on the road this weekend again, and just bringing the fans out there what they want to see, what they want to hear. So I appreciate you having me on, JR.
Appreciate you, Trey. We'll catch you on down the line, okay?
Thank you, my man.
No doubt about it. That Trey Wallace covers all things college football for OutKick. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, I need to get these other losers out the way, especially from last night. Monday Night Football, it's the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to talk about the latest L they took, the nonsense that Jerry Jones shared after the game, even shared some words on why a piece of metal fell from the ceiling. We'll talk about it. We're going to get into some positivity. We're, yes, awaiting the college football playoff rankings reveal. That will be our way in about 20 or so minutes, 25 minutes. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Trey Wallace for joining us in the last break. Trey covers all things college football for OutKick. And if you missed the conversation, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Audacy app, AUDACY. We got about 15 to 20 minutes before we get the latest college football playoff rankings, a full expectation, especially what we've seen over the past few weeks, that we have four SEC teams that are going to, well, be in the ranking. And damn it, by the time we get to the end in a few weeks, there's a full expectation that we'll have four of these teams still sitting around in the college football playoff. We'll see how accurate what Trey said and what we all presume to be the case in about 20 minutes from now. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Right before we went to break, and right also before we spoke to Trey, I had detailed out to you that the New York Jets were a bunch of losers. I didn't need to go into too much details. We've seen what has taken place over the past several weeks, months, years, and decade plus. We can't necessarily put the Dallas Cowboys in the same space, but they are also just a terrible organization run by a terrible owner. That guy's name is Jerry Jones, and we detail that quite frequently. And so they're in another disaster of a season that is going nowhere. There will be no 12-5 finish. There will be no finish here. There'll be absolutely nothing. Dallas Cowboys took another L last night to the Texans at home. The final score was 34-10. The Dallas Cowboys are now 0-5 at home this season. They're now on a 5-game losing streak. They're the first NFL team to trail by at least 20 points in 6 straight games. I could go on and on about all the terrible things that make the Dallas Cowboys, let's be honest, terrible. But I'm not gonna. They have no, they don't, Hickey, where do I even start? Where do I start at?
Owner, for sure.
Okay, all right. Does it start and stop there? Probably, right?
I don't know about stop per se, but it definitely starts there, and a large majority of it centers around him.
Yeah, he's a nut. He is, and he was asked a variety of things. He's so confusing. Before the season starts, I mean, dating back to the conclusion of last year, Jerry Jones tells everybody that Mike McCarthy is not a lame duck coach. Other times he says that Mike McCarthy knows he's not going to be the Dallas Cowboys coach forever. He doesn't have a year on his contract past this season, which is going to end in a little more than a month. It's just ridiculous. And so after another loss last night, no Dak Prescott, Jerry Jones, he was asked if Mike McCarthy has any sway in the locker room. Has he lost him?
It's not as though that lost the locker room. I remember John Madden and Al Davis called me after we won one game the very first year, and he said, well, at least you didn't lose the team or the locker room. I said, well, what's that? How do you lose a team? You misplace them on the road or what? And I'm not trying to be cute here, but they say, well, you didn't lose it. Well, I can tell you in there right now with the kind of careers a bunch of those guys have, I don't worry one ounce about losing anything as far as in the family of losing a team.
No, whatever. He gonna fire that man right after the season ends. And he typically likes to make people twist in the wind while he makes his decisions. Hickey, is he going to be on his yacht or his plane or his jet when he makes that decision? Is somebody going to be feeding him grapes? Like, why does this always take him like a week and 2 weeks?
You're right about that. Probably like wild card weekend. Like maybe if the Eagles are playing or like the Commanders, probably the Commanders if they're playing. Let's break the news then. Kind of take away some shine from their game. That's what Jerry, when you can't win games on the field, right? What do you have to do next? Win the headline. To Jerry's credit, that's where he excels.
Distraction, distraction, distraction. And unfortunately, there was no bigger distraction before yesterday's game. And we all assumed pretty much the Texans would run him out the building. If the Texans lost, it would be their own damn fault. And Jerry Jones was asked about that piece of metal, that piece of sheet metal that fell from the sky. If you were unaware, before the game, hours before the game, they opened up the roof. This thing has been closed for the better part of 2 years. And yesterday, they decided to open the roof, and a piece of metal fell from the sky, almost hit a production worker, and then they promptly closed the roof back up. Everybody was talking about this thing. The players on the field were looking up at the roof. They had Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith standing on the field. They were captured having a whole conversation and pointing at the roof. And so Jerry Jones had to answer this one as well. What the hell and why did a piece of metal fall out of the sky?
Apparently, did a little damage, and then when we tried to open it up, the winds got underneath the roof at that time, and so everybody agreed that it did some damage, but if you check around, Dallas had wind gusts all afternoon. Certainly, there was no risk at all to anybody on the field playing once we shut the roof. And again, we had a lot of wind gusts in this area this afternoon, and apparently that created some looseness up there, and then when we did try to open it up, the wind got in there and exacerbated the looseness.
Well, the looseness. So basically, Hickey, if I understand, because he wasn't all that clear, he just had loose things that weren't tightened on the roof, loose pieces of metal that weren't tightened. Is that what I can assume?
I think you can assume that, and then thus the strong winds in the area, as he said, exacerbated the looseness.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'd love to hear the follow-up questions, you know. So were y'all just storing sheet metal up there? Was this just a loose piece of sheet metal? Like, was there a stack? Because we saw that guy up there, and he was removing the sheets. Or what's going on? What type of jank operation is this, man? Oh, my goodness. I got to give credit to the Houston Texans. And by the way, again, thank God nobody was hurt with his Jerry Jones sheet metal flying all over the stadium. The Houston Texans found some humor in it. And they kind of, how do you say that? They photoshopped an image together of two pieces of sheet metal falling from the sky that formed an L. And hey, Dallas Cowboys, take this loss. It's just awful. And I told you earlier on in the show, we talked about Trey Lance. This man has gotten himself a backup job behind Cooper Rush, who had to go out there and throw the ball 55 times just to stay alive, right? Jerry Jones, he was asked whether or not he wants to see this man that they traded for. He was on 105.3 The Fan. Hey, Jerry, we going to see Trey Lance?
I don't know that. I thought Rush actually had improvement last night from the game before. And frankly, there were times in that ball game that I thought it was really coming to him. We know that we've got limited time to work with these quarterbacks at this particular time, and I would look for us to stay with the experience.
Okay. All right. For what reason? I have no idea. Is Trey Lance that bad? He doesn't add or create any additional dynamic for the team to at least see if they want to keep him or hold him into the future. Why did you trade for him? It doesn't make any sense. The Dallas Cowboys are in the Twilight Zone, and they ain't no getting out. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Phone lines are open if you want to give me a holler on the other side of the break. That's 855-212-4227. We'll talk about the Texans. Yeah, they were the winning team. They had a get-right game against the Cowboys, and they got right. We're also waiting in minutes the latest edition of the College Football Playoff Rankings. We'll give you that update as it comes in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.